Good morning.
Good morning.
This morning's scripture reading is from Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 13. Once, Jesus was in a certain place praying. After he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." Jesus said, "This is how you should pray. Father, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. Give us each day the food we need, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation. Then, teaching them more about prayer, he used this story. Suppose you went to a friend's house at midnight, wanting to borrow 3 loaves of bread. You say to him, 'A friend of mine has come for a visit, and I have nothing for him to eat.' And suppose you call from his bedroom, 'Don't bother me. The door is locked for tonight, and my family and I are all in bed. I cannot help you.' But I tell you this, though he won't do it for friendship's sake, if you keep knocking long enough, he will get up and give you whatever you need because of your shameless persistence. And so I tell you, keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. Everyone who seeks, finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. You fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you simple people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?"
Thank you so much, Jenna. I had the privilege and the opportunity just very recently, just a couple weeks ago, to have 2 of my 4 grandchildren in my own care, just me, right? It was just me alone. How amazing that I was trusted to do that. But I had them, Luke and Rachel, the 2 and the 4-year-old. And so, you know, there's hardly anything I wouldn't do for my grandchildren, right? I mean, truly. So I said to the 2 of them, I said, hey Luke, Rachel, I'm going to take you to the store, and whatever you want, you can have. Right? And can I tell you, like, their faces just, oh, wow, they just stretched the smile big time. I want to tell you, though, I felt fairly safe in making that promise. What they didn't know was this, that I was going to take them to the toy aisle in Dollarama. And they, you know, but they were thrilled because they saw something that they wanted and they said, "Grandpa, you promised." And I said, "Yes, I did." $2.30 later. I got out of there. You know, tomorrow is a family day in the kindergarten class of my granddaughter Naomi at her school in Waterloo. And Jan and I usually go down on Mondays to look after the four grandchildren. But Naomi came to me just the other week and she said, "Grandpa, will you come with me to family day at my school?" And I said, "No. Not." Right, really, truly. I just was overwhelmed. Well, then I got it. Her dad's got to work, and you know, but anyway, I said, I may have been the bottom of the barrel pit. No, I wasn't. I realized she wants me to go with her. I am going. Yes, I'm not going to miss that. You know, Jesus' teaching in the scripture that Jenna read this morning, Luke chapter 11, it's all about that kind of eagerness and willingness, that delight and that joy that God, our Father in heaven, has to saying yes. This isn't no, okay? This isn't no. It's a yes that God has to say yes to giving us the Holy Spirit. There's this thrill, this over-the-top joy, this gladness, this deep, deep delight and eagerness on God's part to say yes to giving us the Spirit when we pray. Now, you can catch some of that, because which one of you as a parent or a grandparent, an uncle or an aunt, wouldn't be thrilled to have the opportunity to bless a little one, a child in your family? Now, I know you're saying yes, aren't you, Grandpa? Yeah. Grandpa Muirhead, is that what you're called? Grandpa? Papa? Whatever, it doesn't matter. You're there, right? Saying yes. But think of that. Whatever's in your heart or in my heart to say yes like that, beyond comparison, beyond compare to that, there's this in the heart of God that God has this extravagance of love that it's like, I can't even put it to words, it's like he's jumping at the opportunity to do it, wants to do it, so eager to do it. Now, if you had the confidence in God, okay, if you just had this inner confidence in God, then and you knew beyond question that God would jump at the opportunity to answer your prayer, what is it that you'd ask God for? What is it that you'd ask God to do? Okay, you know he's going to be glad. You know he's going to be overjoyed. You know there's going to be thrill and delight in his heart, and he's going to say yes. So what are you going to ask him for? What do you want God to do? Well, the disciples in Luke chapter 11 here, they came to Jesus and they said, "Teach us to pray." That was their request. Teach us to pray. I believe that they had seen something. They'd been hanging out with Jesus for a while, and they'd seen something in his life, in the power of his life, in the ministry that he had with people, and saw how that had its source. It came out of, it rose out of his prayer life. And so they didn't say to Jesus, "Teach us to do some miracles." And they didn't say to Jesus, "Show us how we can heal people." They said, "Teach us to pray." It wasn't, "Jesus, help us line up the numbers so when Caesar's lottery date comes up, we win." No. It was, "Teach us to pray." And Jesus gave them a prayer to pray. We've prayed it this morning. And then he gave them some more teaching about prayer. And part of that teaching was he told them a story. And he told them about a man who had some unexpected visitors. And these visitors came late at night, and they were really hungry, and they needed 3 loaves of bread. And you might think, well, that's not very much. Well, in that day, that would have been like, that's well more than a couple days' provision in a family. And it was a rather excessive request, and the man didn't have any food for them. And he said, "Well, okay, I'll go next door. I'm going to go to my neighbor, and I'll get bread there." Now, mind you, this is at midnight. Everybody's soundly asleep, right? None of them burn the midnight oil. They don't stay up watching late-night TV or anything like that. You know, they're nothing like that. They go to bed when the sun goes down. That's, what, 7 o'clock, maybe 8 o'clock. They've been sound asleep, deeply asleep, for 3 or 4 hours already, right? And, okay, get this too, all right? This man's family, they didn't have a 5-bedroom house. They all slept in the same bedroom. You ever seen that commercial on TV? I wish I could show it this morning, but it's this young fellow, he's sitting working, and all of a sudden the baby cries. He's in a crib right by the computer, and he gets up to deal with the child in the crib or whatever, and there's Grandpa over in the bed in the same room, right? Well, that's what's going on. They come and knocks on the door, and, well, what do you think happens there? You know? Do you get the picture here? I mean, it's bad timing. It's midnight. They're halfway through their sleep cycle, right? Okay. You wake them up then. They're not going to get back to sleep, and they're all sleeping in the same room. It's an over-the-top kind of request. And you say, I know what I'd say, no. You know, go home. There's no way. And yet Jesus says that because of this man's, you know, Did you hear those words Jenna used? Shameless persistence. No shame. He just kept knocking. He just kept asking. And Jesus says, here's the point for you. Won't your heavenly Father, who never sleeps and who loves each one of you like a precious child, not at all like a reluctant and grumpy George, right? Not like that at all, but won't he give you the one thing, the thing you most need in order to do his work and live your life in this world? Won't he do that for you? The answer is yes. Now, it's Father's Day, and I understand that not everybody had the privilege, the gift of having a good earthly father, so this may be a rather tough day, or maybe a day you just want to ignore. I get that. I understand something, a little bit of that. But I wonder if, no matter how difficult it may be to think of God as like a heavenly father, you could just try this one on for size. Just imagine that you've been found by a model father. Okay? A model father. And this father has adopted you as a daughter and as a son and made the pledge and the commitment that they will never leave you or hurt you or abuse you or neglect you or forsake you. But rather you see that in this model parent, you've been invited into the very heart. You've been invited into the very center of the three-in-one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that this God embodies everything that you long to hear. It's just the deepest desires of your heart to be able to experience. That's the heart of this God for you as a daughter and as a son. Can you imagine it, that you are loved as you never have been loved, as you will never ever be loved by anyone else, that you are exceedingly precious to God, that God's heart is to bless you, it's to honor you, it's to help you, it's to provide you, it's to give to you the one thing that you most need. Forget the small stuff. This is the big one, okay? The big one that you need more than anything else in your life. We've sang about it. Such a wonderful song we had there earlier in the service, that asking, seeking, knocking song, Holy One, the God who's with us. But, you know, we're to ask, we're to seek, we're to knock for this one thing more than anything else. And the promise of this God who loves us as no one else ever could, would, is that we will receive, we will find, and the door will be opened. The verb tense there is imperfect, and simply what that means is that it means it's a request that we've got to keep on doing, keep on asking, keep on, you know, seeking, keep on knocking. There's got to be this persistence, this never give up. We're going to do it again and again and again until we receive, until we find, until heaven's door is opened up to us. And what's the one thing that we're to seek and we're to knock and we're to find and ask? It's nothing less than the indwelling presence of God, the Holy Spirit, in our lives. Think of that. God indwelling, God inhabiting you, me, this church. That was the secret. If you want to know the secret of Jesus' amazing life and power and ministry here, that was it. Filled with God the Holy Spirit. It was also the secret of the first followers of Jesus too. the disciples in the early church. Acts 4, verse 29 tells us that the prayer of the first Christians, because here's what they prayed. They said, "Lord, help us to speak your word with great boldness." They knew that they needed they couldn't do this on their own. There was nothing in them capable of this. They needed God, the Holy Spirit. Help us. We need the Spirit if we're going to speak the word of God boldly. And what it says is after they prayed that prayer, the place where they were meeting, the place where they were gathered together was shaken. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And guess what happened after that? They went out and they shook the world they lived in and changed it. That's what took place. They spoke the word of God boldly. And then follow, in Acts 4, 29 following, what follows there are six remarkable verses about how, you know, all against the grain of what we would expect of the church in the world now, that they were one in heart and mind. They shared everything that they had with each other. No one was in need. And the power of God was at work in their lives. That's what it says. Whew. Heaven's door open. Power in their life. You know, you can pray for God's helper, the Holy Spirit, to come and fill us. And then shaken by God, filled with the Spirit, they go out to shake and change the world they live in. But now just back, and I need to close here. Back to this prayer that Jesus gave his disciples. And that line in it that says this, that we're to pray for God's will to be done here on earth as it is in heaven. When you look at your own life, when you look at the life of your family, when you look even at the life of this church family, when you look at the lives of people in your street, the neighborhood, the apartment building you live in, when you look at the life of people that you rub shoulders with in your workplace, when you look even at the life of the world that we live in, when you look at all of that, I want to get you to ask yourself this question. Okay, you got that picture of all of that life? What does God in heaven want this life that you're thinking about now here on earth to receive? When you just look into your own life and then you extend that, what do you want? What do you believe that God in heaven wants that life here on earth to receive? All right, you got an answer just in your head? I mean, I wish we had a three-hour service. I'd get you to come up and share those things right now, but you got that in your head? The praise team can come up. Because just as they're coming up, I want you to understand yourself that this is exactly where you are called by God to pray. And to pray for God to release, to give the Holy Spirit in power so that you can be used by God to help be the answer to that prayer. Whatever it is that you had in your mind and in your spirit, pray to God for the gift of the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, so that you're the one who can be used by God to be God's answer to that prayer. It's not like this. You don't pray, "Oh God, I see all this need and I answer it, but let me stay back in my cocoon and let me be comfortable and settled, and I don't want to get my hands messy. I want to be able to live in the..." I know you don't do that. I know you don't choose to live in the silence. I know you're not like that. But it's this: God, I need you. I need your Spirit. I mean, this is way beyond me. I don't even want to touch this unless you touch me first. And I got it in my heart here that this is the thing you most want to do. This is exactly what you're like. This is your very heart. I can't do anything with this. So pour out your Spirit in the greatest measure that's in your heart to do upon my life, upon the life of this church, so that we can be used by you in power. We can speak the word boldly. We can do things in your name that will be amazing and changing, seeing change come to people's lives. We will see your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And friends, I want to tell you that that's not something that we just pray one time. Shameless persistence. We just keep asking, we keep seeking, we keep knocking, and we do that on our own, in our own prayer life. And I believe this, we need to start doing more and more and more of it together as a church. Because it's in asking that we'll receive. It's in seeking that we'll find. And it's in knocking that heaven's door will be opened. Now I need to sing all that. So help me do that. Help us do that.